from KQED.
This is Forum. I'm Michael Krasny. And in this Forum segment, we want to discuss an ongoing controversy over the recent closing of an exhibit of artwork by Palestinian children from Gaza, scheduled originally for the Oakland-based Museum of Children's Art. And we have a couple of people in studio with us who are going to address the controversy. But first, we want to go to Randolph Bell, who is a board member with the Museum of Children's Art in Oakland, MoCA. And welcome, Randolph Bell. Good to have you with us.
Thanks a lot.
I guess the place to begin here is some are saying censorship, and this is an issue of free speech, that the scheduled exhibit is not going on, and some are saying you're protecting children, and some are saying you're being pressured. So what are you saying?
This was absolutely not a matter of censorship, because we wouldn't have taken the show in the beginning. This was literally a matter of our capacity and resources to deal with this thing when it started getting out of hand. We may have made some missteps along the way just in the process, but there was no funding at risk or anything like that. When we heard from enough parents that they did not want the images shown where their kids would be under-supervised looking at them, we could not dismiss that. So we started having this conversation, looking at the capacity of the organization. And we're facing the same things that most nonprofits are facing with lack of resources. This is became an absolute distraction, and it started jeopardizing the organization. So we made a decision that time. And people call it hasty. People just call it straight wrong. But, you know, our mission is not to facilitate, you know, what is the most contentious, you know, kind of issue on the planet for the last 50 years. It's really to keep our doors open for the 25,000 kids that we serve per year, 50 schools, the 30-plus people that we employ. We know that it was a very unpopular decision, and we may have, you know, done that a little differently, but we started immediately to try and fix the process and kind of revise the format, not the images.
So, you know, in other words, you're saying that there was a brouhaha and a kind of hornet's nest here that you just didn't want necessarily to deal with, and I can understand that. But let's get back to what actually happened. And by the way, there is a slideshow with pictures so that our listeners can go to our website and see what we're talking about here. Just go to kqed.org. Because you went ahead, obviously, and you went ahead thinking, what, that this would be pretty much, there have been exhibits of the children have done of war in Iraq, Iraqi children. It would be like that, and you were maybe naive and thought it would go like that?
Yeah, well, there was no exhibition policy in place at that time either. So the fact that there was no brouhaha at that time just means simply that. If nobody had a problem at that time, that means nobody had a problem. But and nobody, you know, who's at the organization right now was there for those. Those are program decisions, so staff nor board were involved in that. And so how we've been painted is that this same board decided to show those images and decided not to show these images, which just is not the case. But we're generally not given, you know, an opportunity to explain the nuances in this thing. It's just like when the message machine, you know, gets a moving, you know, it's hard to stop it.
Randolph Bell, again, is a board member of the Museum of Children's Art in Oakland, MoCA, and thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Good to have had you explain things from your perspective. Barbara Lubin is here with us in studio. She's founder and executive director of the Middle East Children's Alliance, which was a sponsor of the Palestinian Children's Art Exhibit. Good morning.
Hi.
And Rabbi Doug Kahn is also here with us in studio this morning, executive director of the Jewish Community Relations Council. Good morning to you.
Good to be here. Thank you.
Glad to have you both here. Barbara Lubin, no desire to censorship. We just heard from Randolph Bell, and certainly he expressed this as something that they wanted to move ahead on. They made some mistakes on. I guess from your perspective, the big mistake was how they handled it in many ways. Yeah,
yeah, I'd say. You know, I have always felt that MoCA, the museum, has the right to say yes or no to any exhibit that they hold at their museum. And had they said when we contacted them 6 months ago, no, we don't want to show this exhibit for whatever reason. We don't like it. It's inappropriate. Whatever the reason, that's their right. But they didn't say that. They said, yes, we would love to have this exhibit. And in fact, we had many meetings with the staff. I went to two of those meetings, or one or two of those meetings. And we were making all kinds of plans. And during one of those meetings, one member of the staff said, oh, we've been getting some, the board has been getting some pressure from some Jewish organizations. And that was all that was said, but there was no discussion of, you know, there was no discussion about canceling this exhibit. And it wasn't up until 2 weeks before we were to hang the exhibit that we received a call saying that the head of their board then was going to come down and meet with us, that a meeting had been held and a vote had been taken, and that they wanted to come and discuss it with us. We have been working on this exhibit for 6 months. We've been paying somebody in our office to do this work. We've sent out all of these cards inviting the public to come to the opening of the exhibit. And it was only at that time, 2 weeks before, that they came to see us and said that they had decided not to show the exhibit.
We have some conflict here right away. And by the way, the exhibit does have violence in it, of course, and that was pretty much presented in many respects. I still have Randolph Bell on the line here. And Randolph Bell, this idea that there was pressure, I mean, initially you said pretty categorically that there was no pressure on you from Jewish organizations or that there was no pressure on board members. Didn't I hear you say that?
No, I'm not saying that there was no pressure on us. Like, what has been commonly reported is that there were funders who were going to pull our funding because we were showing these images. Yes, there was. We got calls from the Jewish Federation, but we also got calls from quite a few parents, right? That's who our audience is. And they said that they did not want the images up in our public space where their kids would be unsupervised and able to see them.
So it was more the graphic violence, or was it more the ongoing conflict between Palestine and Israel?
Well, for us, it can only be the graphic images in the space that we would be hosting these folks. I don't have an opinion on that. You know, most of the board does not have an opinion on, I'm not going to fix the crisis in the Middle East. So I would never put ourselves in a position to make anybody believe that that's what we were attempting to do.
Well, if you were attempting to solve that crisis, you would be a candidate for the Nobel Prize. We'll just put
exactly.
That. But we've got Douglas Kahn with us. Rabbi Doug Kahn is Executive Director of the Jewish Community Relations Council. And intimidation, pressure, JCRC, Jewish Federation, this is what's been essentially said, what we're hearing, Doug Kahn?
I think those terms actually do not apply at all. What we did was simply ask to meet with the staff of the museum and to convey what concerns we had. And, of course, this has nothing to do with censorship. This organization that sponsored the exhibit is free to do what it wants with the exhibit. This has to do with the institution, the venue where it was being planned. And I want to say the Museum of Children's Art in Oakland is an outstanding institution, instilling a love of art in young children. I was very impressed with not only the institution, but the way that they handled it. And we really identified four primary concerns to the leadership. One is that the exhibit itself, presented by an advocacy organization with a well-known, virulently anti-Israel agenda, was not only biased, but filled with violent and graphic depictions of Israeli soldiers doing horrible things.
That organization being the one that Barbara Lubin is executive director.
Correct. That was filled with graphic, violent depictions of Israeli soldiers doing horrible things in Gaza. No attempt, of course, at contextualizing it. No attempt at also showing that there are children who suffer on the Israeli side who have suffered for years from thousands of rocket attacks launched by Hamas into Israel, as well as Palestinian children who suffer. But more than that, with this kind of violent depiction, we thought it was a mismatch for the age served by the Museum of Children's Art. Indeed, at one point, the Middle East Children's Alliance put an advisory on its website saying that due to the graphic nature of this exhibit, children should be accompanied by parents. MoCA, the museum, in its release said that they primarily serve 5 to 9 year olds, mostly or many of whom are not accompanied by adults. It was clearly a mismatch in terms of the content and the venue.
Was this more graphic, though, than the violence of those paintings from World War II by American children or Iraq children in the 2004 exhibit? I don't know.
I didn't see the other exhibits. What I can say is that the exhibit about World War II was set 65 years in the past. I think it's a very different reality than when you're looking at a current conflict. And part of the concerns that we also expressed was the degree to which this was divisive in the community. We've seen these issues play out emotionally in City Hall. We've seen them on the streets of the city. We've seen them on college campuses. To bring the polarizing, emotional Israeli-Palestinian conflict into the center of this children's art museum, we thought was the real outrage here, that this was an organization with an advocacy agenda trying to exploit the goodwill of a wonderful museum where it simply wasn't appropriate for the age. The other thing is the depiction of much of the art shows Israeli soldiers wearing giant Jewish stars. And we worried about the safety of Jewish children who would be at the exhibit where other children with no ability to interpret the art would suddenly turn on and taunt Jewish children. So these were some of the concerns that we raised with the leadership. And frankly, we were very pleased that they had the courage to make the decision they did.
Well, Barbara Lubin, the organization has been called anti-Semitic. I don't know how you want to respond to that.
This is what I have to say about
virulently anti-Semitic.
Virulently, yes.
I said, if I use that term, I don't think so. I said virulently anti-Israel, by the way.
Okay. No, there is a distinction between the two. Virulently anti-Israel?
This exhibit is an exhibit of children's crayon drawings that were drawn after the attack 2.5 years ago on the civilians in Gaza. This is what they experienced. This is what they lived through. And they were trying to deal with all of the feelings they had about this. And they drew these pictures. And some of the pictures were drawn in a project called Let the Children Play and Heal, which is a project that the Middle East Children's Alliance funds. And this project was set up to help kids deal with the trauma of that particular event. When it was brought to us that there might be feelings that children would have that would see these pictures, we said we would be more than happy to bring people to MoCA. There's a lot of psychotherapists, psychologists that support the Middle East Children's Alliance, and we offered to bring people there and to help anybody who was having trouble.
This was before or after you were told that they were going to go ahead and close the exhibit?
This was before. And, the Middle East Children's Alliance is an organization that has really worked hard to try and bring the voices of Palestinian children to those of us here in the United States. We are building water purification systems in the schools in Gaza so the children can have clean, pure water to drink. We have art programs like Let the Children Play and Heal. We have built playgrounds in the West Bank and Gaza. We've built them in refugee camps in Lebanon and in Syria. We're going to continue doing this work. The issue is these children's voices should be heard the same as the Iraqi children's voices were heard. And it was censorship. And also, they're the same pictures as the Iraqi children drew, except it's the Israeli flag. It's not the American flag.
So they're Jewish stars. As
well, the Jewish star was put on the Israeli flag, and that's why that star is drawn. And I'm looking at pictures right here, none of which have a Jewish star on them.
But actually, the pictures you're looking at are on our website if people want to go and see
absolutely.
These pictures.
Absolutely.
Can I comment?
These children have a right to have their voices heard by everyone. And MoCA had a right not to show this exhibit. But my concern was that 2 weeks before we were to show this exhibit, it was stopped. And
Hold it there for a second, because I want to give out the phone number. I know there are many people who want to join in this, and I want voices to be heard from our listeners as well. I know, Rabbi Kahn, you want to respond, but let me give out the phone number and invite listeners to join this discussion. Toll-free number is available to you. It's 866-733-6786. You can join us now, again, at that toll-free number, whether you're listening on radio, internet, or Sirius satellite, 866-733-6786, or send an email to us, forum@kqed.org, or post a question or comment on our website, kqed.org/forum. Click on the segment, or post a question or comment on our Facebook page. Doug Kahn?
A couple of things I want to respond to. First of all, it was interesting. We took a look at an exhibit of children's art from Israel who were traumatized by all the rocket attacks, Jewish and Arab Israeli children. And the depiction was not of violence, was not of hatred, was not of the attacks themselves, but rather of hope, of peace, of life. And the contrast is absolutely staggering here. And one wonders, honestly, in terms of—
These are children who were under rocket attack from Hamas?
Correct. These are children in Sderot and, I believe, Akko as well. And one wonders, when one looks at this exhibit, about the control that exists in Gaza in terms of how free are these children to actually express themselves. Hamas is a tyrannical terrorist regime recognized as such by the United States government. 2 years ago, they had, or 4 years ago, I should say, they had on Hamas television this Mickey Mouse-like character, for which they took tremendous criticism, trying to instill in young children in Gaza pathological hatred of Israel. And one sees that in this particular exhibit. Again, this is not about their right as an organization to show the exhibit. This is about whether this one museum was an appropriate venue. In addition to what Barbara Lubin mentioned about the work of the Middle East Children's Alliance, we have seen their work in the Bay Area. We know that they are an active leader in the boycott, divestment, and sanctions movement against Israel. And as part of their strategy is to try to take this kind of anti-Israel message into venues where it simply doesn't belong. A number of years ago, they had a program called The Wheels of Justice, which depicted the, from their standpoint, the occupation of Israel and the occupation, Israel's occupation and America's occupation, and they were trying to take this into venues as young as kindergarten through third grade.
Right, I wouldn't be. I mean, we could do a whole hour on what both of you feel toward your respective organizations, but I would be remiss as a journalist if I didn't ask you about the JCRC's record, since you talked about the virulent anti-Israel feelings of Barbara Lubin's Middle East Children's Alliance. In fact, Jews for Justice for Palestine is a group that on their website accuses the JCRC of a record of Palestinian exploitation. The Edward Said mural, for example, that the JCRC was opposed to, or a number of things that they cite, in other words, that essentially say you're on a campaign to obliterate cultural expression of Palestinians.
Let me answer that with two things. First of all, the Edward Said mural at San Francisco State, actually, we did not oppose. Out of the dozens of symbols on the mural, there were two that we took exception to because they represented the elimination of the State of Israel, and we didn't think that that was appropriate on a permanent exhibit at San Francisco State University. The rest of the mural, the decision to depict Edward Said, no objection to whatsoever. In fact, over the course of any given year, there are dozens of programs that are antagonistic to Israel in the Bay Area. Almost all of them go on without having to respond to it. But when young children who have no context, we're talking about a museum that serves children ages 3, 4, 5, 6, and so forth, we're looking at a very different setting than the free marketplace of ideas. I do want to also add very quickly, though, Michael, that this is an organization, the Middle East Children's Alliance, which historically has tried to suppress free speech. Barbara Lubin led the effort successfully to stop Benjamin Netanyahu from speaking at Berkeley Municipal Theater in the year 2000. In the year 2008, she and others disrupted for 2 hours our education symposium for the 60th anniversary of Israel. And just at their opening last week and in the alternative space, there was a sign that said, "We reserve the right to refuse entry to those who do not support the showing of Palestinian children's art and a child's view from Gaza." That is suppression.
I would like to respond.
We could have a whole debate here.
I'd like to respond to this.
It'll have to be quick because I want to bring our callers in.
I will be quick. You know, Rabbi Kahn to say that they did not pressure the museum, I just like to read from the website of the ADL. It says the ADL joins local
Anti-Defamation League, excuse me.
joins local Jewish agencies in successfully urging Oakland Museum of Children's Art to cancel controversial exhibit of art by Gaza children. Along with the East Bay Jewish Community Relations Council and the Jewish Federation of the East Bay, and it goes on to say that they pressured them. And this is really not the first time this has happened to us personally. In 1991, when Professor Noam Chomsky was to come and speak at the Berkeley Community Theater, 19 professors from the University of California at Berkeley wrote a letter to the bookstores that were selling tickets to our event. And they pressured them and said, led by the Israeli Action Committee, saying that they would picket the bookstores and tell people not to shop there if they sold those tickets.
All right, Barbara, hold that because I want to bring our callers on here.
They said that we were anti-Semitic. No, that's not true. They said that Middle East Children's Alliance, Barbara Lubin, and Noam Chomsky were self-hating Jews and supported terrorism. They did the same thing.
I'm afraid that you two have a lot of differences here that unfortunately reflect the differences between Israel and the Palestinians.
No, it really doesn't reflect that
I don't think that we can
that
bring reconciliation here, so let me go to our callers.
This isn't about reconciliation. It's about letting the voices of children in Gaza be seen and heard.
Right, let me bring our callers in because I do want to have them heard as well, and I'm sure you can understand that. And Alan is first up here. Alan, go.
Hi. So I'm from Palo Alto, and what I want to share is, with all due respect to both individuals, you guys are over-politicizing this issue. I'm not Jewish. I'm not Palestinian. I have no stake in this dispute personally. However, if I bring my child to a children's museum, I don't expect to get the same content that I would at a PG-13 or rated R movie. I don't let my kids see them. And just because I'm there with my child at the museum doesn't make it okay. At a children's museum, I expect children's content. And if there's any sort of advisory, why is it there?
All right. I thank you for that opinion. And I want to get as many of you on as I can. We go next to a caller from Winchester, Virginia. Enrique, you're on.
Yeah, hi. I had a question regarding the actual censorship of this show. I wonder that in the aftermath of 9/11, whether the vilifications of Muslims in our country really led to censoring these voices. And in tandem, the Jewish experience in the Holocaust, whether that had anything to play in allowing this censorship. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Well, I don't know how you quantify the Islamophobia or, for that matter, the influence of the Holocaust in this. I don't know if either of you want to go on record here, but, I mean, it's kind of difficult to really separate those things. So let me go on, and we'll get Barack as our next caller. Barack, you're on.
My question kind of echoes one of the other callers, which is, what is the need for such a graphic exhibition to be at a museum for children? It could be, I mean, the voice could still be heard in a forum that is more appropriate. What is the need for Barbara to want to do it at a children's museum where other children could potentially get traumatized? It doesn't really make sense to me, coming from an unbiased kind of view. I'll take my answer offline.
Okay, thank you. Barbara Lubin.
This is art by children ages 8 to 14. They are pictures of their experience of what happened to them, just as the pictures that were drawn by children in Iraq of what happened to them. There really is no difference in these pictures. It's just a question of who's on top and who's on bottom.
I just want to agree with this caller and echo what a previous caller said, and that is that the Children's Art Museum is fundamentally an educational institution, and educational institutions always make decisions about the appropriate age at which children should be exposed to various kinds of content, and that's all that's happened in this instance.
All right, I'm looking at some listeners'
and
remarks.
And I have no problem with the museum making those decisions, but they made the decision to show the exhibit. That's the concern I have, and then they changed their minds.
And you're saying, in effect, they caved in, really, aren't you?
I'm just saying that they changed their minds.
Well, here's Elaine who says, they want to expose my child to something that they anticipate will cause kids to need to speak to a therapist without me being there. The Middle East Children's Alliance is not at all concerned with the best interests of local children. They are looking for free publicity by making a ridiculous stink and dragging Mocha through the mud in the process. Shame on them. Here's a web comment. I highly agree with Rabbi Kahn. This is not a matter of censorship. This type of exhibit would only be acceptable to be viewed by children if it were accompanied by extensive explanation and context. The work wounds very compelling, but the venue is just inappropriate. Let me get another caller on here, and that's you, Ryan. Good morning.
Hi. Yeah, I just wanted to comment that I thought it seems like a classic case of censorship where art is being unable to be presented because of outside groups who have a specific agenda. I just want to address the rabbi's statement that the art coming out of, from Israeli children had this kind of positive, sunny, life-affirming quality to it. I wonder if the fact that that's not the case with the art coming from the Gaza children might indicate what is going on there, and maybe people need to look at this, and maybe American children need to take a look at what these kids are going through.
I can only say that I think both sides are the children are the victims of a perpetual conflict. The JCRC, along with the overwhelming organized Jewish community, eagerly seeks an end to the conflict and a two-state solution that will allow Israel and a Palestinian state to live side by side in peace. But I do think that it's interesting to note that the Israeli art is art that has been drawn under true freedom, whereas the art in Gaza is not drawn under true freedom. And one only has to wonder about the kind of influence and pressure that is placed there.
Well, I want to bring Randolph Bell back in this because, Randolph Bell, there is some showing of this exhibit now around the corner from you, I understand. Could you clarify that?
Yeah. Well, we had first I wanted to say I hope that your listeners see that Mocha is a political football in this thing. And my decision was not that complicated. It was just a matter of our capacity and resources to manage this thing. And so we did actually propose, we spoke to some of the curatorial staff and not directly to Barbara about...
Well, that's not true. You spoke to me at 3 o'clock the day before the exhibit was to be shown.
My understanding is that we spoke to your curatorial staff.
No, you
long
spoke
before
to me.
That. And what we had proposed is that we revise, not censor the images. What we were going to do is take those images and put them in actually a much more visible spot.
All right, let me just, because we're coming to the end of this, Barbara, where can they be seen? In addition, our website.
They can be seen at 917 Washington Street. The entire exhibit can be shown there. And what Mr. Bell suggested was a modified exhibit, and we thought that was censorship. You know, we do a lot of events.
We're out of time, Barbara Lubin. I want to thank you,
okay.
Barbara Lubin from the Middle East Children's Alliance, Rabbi Doug Kahn from the Jewish Community Relations Council, Randolph Bell from the Museum of Children's Art in Oakland, Mocha. Thank you, our listeners. Another hour ahead. You're going to continue this discussion on our website or on Facebook. I'm Michael Krasny.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio and the Germanicos Foundation and the Generosity Foundation in honor of Louise and Claude Rosenberg.